Join WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio and tour guide Guy Murphy of Totally Yours and enter into Scripture, bringing to life the rich traditions of our Catholic faith as we journey with Jesus.
Welcome to this episode of Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your tour guide, Guy Murphy. Joining me today to talk with you about an upcoming Journey with Jesus is Bill Snyder.
Guy, it's great to be with you again. Where are you going to take us today?
We're going to continue on our Journey with Jesus in the Holy Land. Last time we talked about the geography of the Holy Land, the proof of God's existence, the importance of the Bible, and there are forces in our culture that try to undermine the Bible. We reviewed that God does have a clear purpose for our life on earth. Today, we will discuss our paradise home, the fall of man, and then through God's great mercy, the promise of redemption, where we could once again be in paradise. Genesis chapter 1 is the big picture of creation, and Genesis chapter 2 is an account that is zoomed in with the focus on the details of the creation and purpose of man.
So where do we get our ancient history of Genesis from?
For those with faith know that God not only gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, but as they were going through the desert, he often spoke to Moses in the meeting tent from Exodus and Numbers. God told our history and the law to Moses. God is the author, and Moses is the human instrument used to record it. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses put these writings in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the stone tablets, which were the Ten Commandments, and his staff, and some of the manna that had fallen from the sky. Moses is mentioned over 600 times in the Old Testament and over 70 times in the New Testament. The authors are assuming it is obvious that Moses wrote the Pentateuch. If you look at Matthew 22, Jesus himself said that Moses wrote the laws and wrote about him. From Mark 12.
Now, do we still believe that there really was an Adam and Eve?
Well, Adam is mentioned over 40 times in the Bible, including 9 times in the New Testament. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the Gospel of Luke traces Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam. The great Saint Paul writes about Adam 7 times. The church calls Adam and Eve saints. Their feast day is December 24. The most important thing to observe with Adam and Eve is their relationship with God.
Okay, well then let's take a look at man's relationship with God.
In order to understand the Holy Land, the Bible, our struggles, and to ultimately understand Jesus Christ, it is important to look at the relationship between God and man. This relationship is formally expressed in God's covenants. In Genesis, we will see how Adam and Eve lived in peace and harmony in the Garden of Paradise as children of God. God made a covenant with them. God will give them everything, and they will not eat the forbidden fruit. The serpent tricks Eve, and Eve shares her crime with Adam. Soon, this sin, or saying no to God, changed their loving relationship with God to a fearful relationship where Adam was hiding from God. That's in Genesis 3.
So, this is the original sin.
Yes, and the church teaches that ignoring the reality of original sin both undermines the mystery of Christ and gives rise to serious error in our culture. We see in Genesis 3:15 the promise of redemption. God said, "I will put enmities between you and the woman, and your seed and her seed. She shall crush your head, and you shall lie in wait of her heel. The prince of this world will one day be crushed, but for now, there will still be much tears, sorrows, and penance, because for a time, evil will run rampant here on the earth.
So why did Adam and Eve do it? They knew God said that they would not die, yet they believed the devil.
They were put to the test. They had a disposition in their hearts that caused them to be fooled. The disposition was Adam and Eve wanted to please themselves more than they wanted to please God, and they sinned. All sin has this inclination at its root. Satan did not force them to disobey God, he encouraged them. If their hearts were growing in true love for God, they would have humbled themselves by calling on God to help them overcome the temptation. The same problem remains throughout all history as it is today. The lesson is to always strive to have your hearts please God more than yourself. This is called having goodwill. Unfortunately, this did not happen. Original justice was lost, and original sin was passed on.
So why is there so much violence and killing in the world?
Let us look at God's word and continue with Genesis 4, with Adam and Eve's children named Cain and Abel. Cain made a stingy offering to God, and Abel gave his best to God. Cain grew envious of Abel's relationship with God. Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out in the field." When they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Cain answered, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" God then said, "What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth."
So, wow, what a tragedy. How could he do such a thing?
Remember that in the Bible, God not only reveals himself to us, he reveals us to us as well. We see what man is capable of doing, especially if he falls into certain behavior. While Abel was offering God the best of his flock to please God, Cain pleased himself first and ate, let's say, the best melon, then offered to God a little melon with bugs in it. This selfishness led to anger, then envy, hatred, then murder. Instead of climbing the mountain of God that includes self-sacrifice and self-giving, Cain slid down the slippery slope to the culture of death. Eventually, Jesus will help us to overcome this slippery slope. The two paths, going up or going down. Going up is pleasing God more than self, leads to self-giving, then self-sacrifice, true love, and the culture of life. Going down is pleasing self more than God, which leads to self-taking, selfishness, wounds, hatred, and the culture of death, which we're trying to prevent today's world from falling into. We can still have many pleasures that God is giving us, but we cannot be more attached to the gifts than to the giver of the gifts. Willing to please God more than self is called goodwill and is the absolute key to peace on earth and to most of the mysteries between man and God. We will review this concept struggle more as we climb the mountain of the Lord at Mount Tabor.
I remember the angels at Christmas, peace on earth to men of goodwill. So this is the key?
As we look at the entire human history, we see that the wounds of sin degrade man, and even the best of them could not bear to hear God's voice or they would die in Exodus. As humans create more wounds through their selfishness, they pervert the good world and degrade it into a hell. Jesus Christ will come and pay the price to restore the relationship with God to something even better than it was before. Isaiah prophesied 70 years before Christ, "As a bridegroom marries a virgin, so will God marry you." As we journey with Jesus, this reality will be made clear.
So how do we sum up the Old Testament and our human history in 15 minutes?
Well, every 500 years, there seems to be a great historical highlight. It is beneficial to look at our history and relationship with God through the covenants that He made with us. A covenant, like a marriage covenant, is a most intimate and binding contract between persons in which each party gives of themselves in a very committed way, otherwise known as vows. A covenant is more powerful than just a contract because it includes what goes on inside the heart. In our history, God is not only going to reveal Himself to us, God is going to reveal us to us as well. And in our human history, we make many mistakes with our evil inclinations. We are always offending God with our hearts, but God is patient, merciful, and always trying to put us on the right path on our earthly pilgrimage. We have to take a short break on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm Guy Murphy, and we'll be right back with more of A Journey with Jesus.
My name is Father Dominic Paluzzi. I'm a member of the Priests of the Sacred Heart. I have been ordained for 41 years. St. Paul tells us, how shall they call on Jesus in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe unless they have heard of Him? And how can they hear unless there is someone to preach? We have the opportunity for Catholic Radio to do exactly that, to bring the Word of God into our houses, but more importantly, into our hearts.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Are you enjoying this WSFI local program and want to share it with others? Visit WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen, Then Programming. That's WSFI Catholic Radio, Listen, Then Programming. Don't miss the 2016 Sports Faith Hall of Fame induction ceremonies on Saturday, May 14th of Pentecost weekend, beginning with Holy Mass at the Church of St. Mary's in Lake Forest, Illinois at 5 o'clock p.m., followed by dinner and the Hall of Fame induction at the Deer Path Inn. This year's list of honorees includes Chip Beck, Ziggy Zarabsky, Lauren Hill, Nick Rassus, Bill Wennington, and many more virtuous athletes, coaches, and teams. For more information or to purchase tickets, call 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at WSFIradio.org. Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen Live.
Welcome back to this episode of Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your tour guide, Guy Murphy, and once again, joining me today to talk with you about our pilgrimage in the Holy Land is Bill Snyder.
So, Guy, where do we start? Right before the break, you were talking about these 500-year events that were happening throughout the human history and the Bible. where do we begin with this highlight strategy of 500 years?
Day zero, our human history starts out great. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we were put in the Garden of Paradise. Adam had a covenant with God to live happily in paradise, but not to eat the forbidden fruit, or he would die. Note, it's not even a 50-50 covenant. God does over 99%, and man just has to do what God asked. But using their free will and choosing to eat the forbidden fruit, they broke the covenant with God. They said no, they disobeyed God, and they gave birth to evil. The culture of sin and death entered into the world. As human history went on, evil grew as Cain killed his brother Abel, and then evil continued to spread over the whole earth to Genesis chapter 4.
So the next 500 years, what happened?
Around 500 years after Adam, there were a couple of bright spots in our troubled history. Seth's son Enos, it said, called on the Lord's name, and his great-great-grandson Enoch walked with God.
And then the next 500 years, in the year 1000, what happened?
Around 1,000 years after Adam, Enoch walked with God and was seen no more because God took him, from Genesis chapter 5. Good old Enos and Enoch are the precursors to our goal in the spiritual life. We start out by calling on the Lord's name, and we continue our journey with Jesus by walking with God in our daily lives.
So, in the year 1500, what happened?
Around 1500 years after Adam was created, Noah was alive on the earth, getting ready for the flood in Genesis 6. So, the great flood. When the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human beings was on the earth, and how every desire that their heart conceived was nothing but evil, the Lord regretted making human beings on the earth, and his heart was grieved. So the Lord said, I will wipe out from the earth the human beings I have created, and not only the human beings, but also the animals and the crawling things and the birds of the air, for I regret that I made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. What happened was then God wipes out the evil people with the great flood. Only Noah and his family are spared. God makes a new covenant with his people. In the new covenant, God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God gives us all the plants and animals to eat. Humans are created in the image and likeness of God, and they have great value and shall not be used or killed or else. This covenant of life applies to every human being. God promised he will not destroy the inhabitants on the earth again by a flood, so be at peace when it's raining outside. They see a rainbow as a sign and will remember the new covenant with God. Now the entire human race will descend from Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's in Genesis chapter 9. Noah's sons and their descendants spread out over the earth. Noah's son Ham and his grandson Canaan committed the first big sin after the flood. The word of God said he uncovered Noah's nakedness.
Oh boy. That is trouble.
Noah curses Canaan and his descendants. Where did they settle? They settle in that area of the size of New Jersey known as the Holy Land or Palestine or the Land of Canaan. They spread all the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Eventually, God promises the land where these cursed people are living to Abraham, a descendant of Shem.
So the Holy Land, or the Land of Canaan, goes all the way back to Noah's grandson and his sin?
Yes. To understand all the troubles, battles, and violence in the Holy Land, we recognize that they date back to Canaan's sin and the curse after the great flood, from Genesis 9 on through Genesis 28. We will go over more details of this in the future, but there are two other interesting points about Noah. The first one is, even though the entire world was purged of sin, sin starts up again in Genesis 9 with the eight people who survived. Therefore, no matter how bad the world gets, we can't point out to others and say, if we get rid of these people who are sinning, the world will be a better place. We are all born good but inclined to evil because of original sin. This makes life on earth a battle. We need the Messiah to help free us from this battle. The second point is Saint Peter, the vicar of Christ, our first pope, notes that the flood did not only happen, but it also foreshadowed our Christian baptism. He said, in the days of Noah, when the ark was being built, eight souls were saved by water. Baptism now saves you also, from 1 Peter 3. God provides this type of foreshadowing because he knows all the past, present, and future. A few hundred years after Noah, the descendants wanted to make a city and built a tower, hoping the top may reach to the heavens. However, they did not do this to give glory to God, but to make a name for themselves. God confided their speech and called the place Babel, from Genesis chapter 11.
So in the next 500 years, we reach the year 2000. What happened then?
About 2,000 years after Adam came Abraham. Because of his great faith, God made a covenant with Abraham by circumcision. He blessed him and told him about the promised land, the land of Canaan. The wickedness grew in the land of Canaan. The wickedness became so rampant that God's justice destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, which was located on the south side of the Dead Sea. We're in Genesis 19, by the way. Abraham's son Isaac, from the free woman Sarai, had the covenant passed on to him. To prove his love for God, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac. God provided a male ram with its head caught in the thorns to be sacrificed instead. Because of his great faith, God told Abraham, because you obeyed, through your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessings. Genesis 22.
Yeah. You know, Guy, this makes people nervous that God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac.
Well, people with weak faith often complain about God because of this event. However, if God asked them to sacrifice potatoes, we would also complain and say, hey, what's the big deal with Abraham? Why is it that through all his descendants, all the nations of the earth shall find blessing? For those with strong faith knows that Abraham's faith was so strong that he reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Paul actually brought that up in Hebrews. God knew in advance that he was going to stop Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, but waited until after he displayed his great faith. This example was left to strengthen us who are on the road to a stronger faith. So praise the Lord and let us ask God for a stronger faith.
Don't the Muslims say that they're rooted in Abraham as well? How can that be?
Abraham's son Ishmael came from the slave girl, is believed to be the ancestors of the Muslims. Although Muslims, Jews, and Christians believe in the same God, their relationship is quite different. The Muslim's relationship to God is closer to that of a slave to his master, just like Ishmael. The relationship of the Jews and Christians to their God is closer to the love of a son to his father. The difference in relationship is huge. It is easy to forget how good the Christians have it. The Muslims do not come together as a faith until over 600 years after Christianity. Moving on, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau sold his birthright from his father to Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew and thought nothing of it. We complain, how could he so foolishly do that? Yet we give our heavenly inheritance away for a bowl of soup. Although Esau was older, through his mother Rebekah's intercession, Jacob got the special blessing, and the covenant was passed on to him. The angel changed Jacob's name to Israel in Genesis 32, and Israel stands for the people of God, or the chosen ones are the people who have the covenant with God. Jacob had 12 sons, and that would eventually become the 12 tribes of Israel. The sons sold their brother Joseph into slavery, but God was with him. God made Joseph a great man in Egypt, and eventually Jacob and all 12 sons came down to Egypt, but they knew one day they would go back to the promised land. Israel died, they embalmed him, and Joseph carried his bones back to the Holy Land and buried him. At the end of Genesis, Joseph said, "God will visit you. Carry my bones with you out of this place." And it all went from Genesis 26 to 50. After a few generations, the Pharaoh of Egypt did not remember Joseph. He oppressed the Israelites and put them into cruel slavery.
Ouch. That sounds like more problems and trouble.
That is all the time we have for this show. Today, we reviewed the first 2,000 years of our human history, including our troubles, and how much we need the grace of Jesus Christ.
What will we discuss next week on the program, Guy?
We will finish the history and discuss the first proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Looking forward to it.
That wraps it up for this episode of Journey with Jesus. That include the 15 proofs that Jesus is God. I am your tour guide, Guy Murphy, on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. May God bless all your journeys.
This was Journey with Jesus on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this or any other program, visit WSFIradio.org.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio.
This is Guy Murphy with Totally Yours. And for all the listeners, I just want to really encourage them. Catholic radio is so important because you are Our Lady's Army. You're the one who has to evangelize the people in our culture today. And WSFI 88.5 is a great tool to nourish our vocation, nourish your vocation. So stay plugged in because they keep us updated on the current events and all the wonderful things related to our Catholic faith.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Did you know that you can listen to WSFI local programming on demand? Full episodes of Pro-Life Today, WSFI Spotlight, Healing the Whole Person, Bursting Forth in Sound, along with our novenas, prayers, and devotions, are available on your mobile device or online. For iPhone and iPad users, open the already installed podcast app and search for WSFI. Then click Subscribe. Android users need to visit the Google Play Store, download the Stitcher app, create a free account, then search for WSFI. Add us to your favorites playlist by clicking the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. The full archive of local shows is also available at WSFIradio.org. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.